In the history of the Endangered Species Act, only a dozen or so of the more than 1,200 plants and animals listed as threatened or endangered have actually recovered. The eagle may be the latest to join that little group.
I see a big birdie.
This is a pretty unlikely spot for an eagle, a man-made wetland by a landfill in a busy airport flight path on the outskirts of Detroit. But state wildlife biologist Joe Robison shows this young visitor the bulky nest across the marsh where two adult birds are teaching their gangly fledglings to fly.
Something just laying in the tree out there. Oh, that's the other juvenile. This is the first time I've seen them flying this year. They look like they're flying good, though.
These birds are among more than 400 pairs in Michigan monitored by state and federal wildlife officials. The eagles are banded, the nests are watched, and when a bird dies, it ends up in the freezer of wildlife pathologist Tom Cooley.
Lots and lots of them. And there you can see that was a roadkill along I-75.
Right now, Cooley's freezer is brim full of dead birds stacked like frozen Thanksgiving turkeys in plastic bags. Roadkill has become the leading cause of death among eagles he examines, but Cooley says they still investigate suspicious-looking deaths for the heavy metals and pesticides, like DDT, which once caused the eagle's demise.
Birds that send up a red flag to us are adult birds that are in poor condition, and you don't see a reason why they could be in poor condition. Those are the ones that we especially look at for pesticide analysis because there are still the organochlorines out there, the DDTs are still picked up by eagles or still contained in eagles, and those pesticides can cause real problems for them and actually kill them.
Cooley sends tissue samples to another state lab for analysis, but the testing is expensive, and with the eagle on the way to recovery, it's not as urgent. Right now, he says, all the samples he sends are being archived, shelved, basically. That means the testing won't be done until the money is available.
I never like archiving anything if I can help it. You're probably not missing anything, but again, that kind of data is always nice to have if you can get it right away and look at it right away.
The question is, if it's hard to get funding for monitoring and testing now, while the bird is still on the endangered species list, what happens when it's taken off the list? The reality, say state and federal wildlife experts, is that budget priorities change as a species recovers. Ray Rustem heads Michigan's non-game wildlife program.
There's not enough money for every species. And so you try and take a species to a level where you feel comfortable, and then you take that money that you can apply to this another species to try to recover.
The Federal Endangered Species Act requires the Fish and Wildlife Service to monitor what it terms a delisted species for 5 years. After that, responsibility largely shifts to the states. That concerns groups like the National Wildlife Federation. Attorney John Kostiak questions whether states can really afford to protect fragile species and their habitat over the long term.
That's going to be an issue for any delisting. A tough question that we're going to always be asking is, all right, assuming you go forward with the delisting, how are we going to make sure that the species doesn't turn right around and go back, slide back toward extinction again?
With some species, that means habitat management. With others, like the recovering gray wolf, it means public education, teaching people not to kill them. With the eagle, it means ensuring that the birds are not threatened by the pesticides, heavy metals, and newer chemicals that contaminate the fish the eagles eat. Because of the bird's importance as an indicator species, fish and wildlife biologists are hopeful banding and testing programs will continue after delisting, but it will likely mean finding new ways to pay for them. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Sally Isley.